Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Leadership. Now, that one term can mean different things to different people. For some, myself included, it's a flashback to my military days. You know, the leader, unflinching in the face of adversity, leading the team or unit to victory and accepting nothing less. At the same time, caring for the needs of the subordinates. Now, in business, it could mean working for a demanding boss that nobody likes. It could mean a caring manager who helps the subordinates out. It could mean someone that all of the employees look up to, but they're not really sure why. How can there be so many different leadership styles? How can a successful business have a bad leader? How can a struggling business have a good leader? How can a church or ministry have a great leadership team, even though the church relies totally on volunteers? Well, to take us through this maze of possibilities is today's guest, John Shibley. John spent over 25 years in business, working in sales for multiple corporations in various industries. Some of that time was spent in leadership roles where he confesses he learned a lot about the wrong ways to lead, mainly learning through his own mistakes, and to that, I can relate 100%. John's released a book titled Last in Line Leadership, A Pathway to Purpose and Destiny Defined. Now, last in line leadership is taken straight from Matthew 20, verse 16, where Jesus teaches us the last to be first and the first to be last. Bottom line, according to John, is that we are all called to lead. Amen. Help me welcome to the program, John Shibley. John, thank you for taking the time to come on the program today.
It is a complete honor and it's a privilege, and I feel very blessed that you even invited me to be a part of this great platform that you have.
Amen. Amen. Now, the first question I always ask, other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is John Shibley?
So I grew up in Oklahoma, and I was an only child. I am an only child, and, really was not raised around the church environment. It was more of a holiday, Christmas and Easter, Mother's Day type of event. And so I had a different journey growing up, a different young adulthood. And I will say, you know, in a nutshell, I've been on both sides of quote unquote, the Jesus fence. And I've been on both sides of spirituality. So I know what good and bad looks like. And I'm just thankful to have finally discovered what obedience really looked like and what the following of the Holy Spirit looked like. And I'm just grateful that I woke up, because I had plenty of chances and the grace of God just kept tapping me on the shoulder. And I feel very blessed to have finally gotten the hint.
Yeah, amen, amen. I can relate to that 100%. That's for sure. Now, you just released your first book, Last in Line Leadership, A Pathway to Purpose and Destiny Defined, back in August of 2020. Was this written primarily to help leaders deal with the pandemic and shutdowns?
So not originally. I felt like this book has been stirring in me for years, and the positivity of the whole pandemic and the quarantine happened to be that it got my attention to carve out margins of time where I had always used busyness as an excuse. And so I sat down and really started seeking God as far as how he wanted me to approach this and sort of the audience that he had intended. And what I really got was a yes. When I said, who's going to read this, who wants it, who needs it? And it was just a yes. So I felt like this is for a lot of people. It's for everybody, because as you mentioned, I feel like we all have influence, and I feel like we're all called to leadership in varying forms and degrees. But this is intended. Originally, I had written devotionals, multiple devotionals, 5-day devotionals, and I just kind of put those all together and realized I had enough content. But then I also wanted to be more transparent about my own experiences, because I really feel like people relate to the ordinary person and just the average guy next door, which is what I am. And God has really kind of opened the door to do extraordinary things through this book that I really had no idea would even happen. So it's for a business leader that is a Christian that struggles to really balance that faith at the workplace. It's for the younger person who may be kicking the tires on their spirituality. It's for people who go to church every week and read the Bible every day, but really and truly maybe are apprehensive on how they can step out into leadership. So I think it's for a broad range of people.
Amen. Amen. Now, you mentioned devotional. Is this a devotional type of leadership book? Is that right?
So, the format would lend itself to say yes, because it is very straightforward, very simple. Each chapter has an introduction and then a day one. And it's a 5-day sort of examination of each particular topic. And I go into, I believe, 10 or so topics that I feel are crucial in leadership and really crucial to kind of unpack within ourselves and understand what we're gifted at and how to kind of walk that out. And then, there's some foundational things biblically that we can really kind of look inward and say, I could get better at this, or, hey, I didn't realize this really even involved leadership, but I do this every day, so I guess I am a leader. So it's one of those things where people can kind of walk this out throughout the week on a 5-day span. Not that the other 2 days aren't important, right? But I think I felt like when I was walking the journey early in my Christianity, early in my spirituality, I felt like that those 5 days at work were the hardest for me. And so I think maybe I subconsciously felt tied to that person who might be needing that 5-day staple of something simple, something straightforward, something very transparent and authentic that they could relate to.
Amen. How long, Derek, let's say someone was going to use it for those 5 days, Monday to Friday, how long does it take them to work through one section for one day?
Oh, it's not hard to work through one day. I mean, it's very application oriented, if you will. I made it extremely simple. This book can be read in a half a day, like I told you. It's one of those where I think if you read one day, there's some application at the end of the chapter that really forces you to examine some things that maybe you haven't thought about. And it encourages people to write it out. I'm a big Habakkuk 2:2, where he says, have a vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. And I feel like writing things down, and I'm not a big journaler, I know there's value in it and I know I could get way better at it, but I feel like writing those things down of areas that chapter speaks to somebody or that uncovers some things within them where maybe there's some pain in the past, or maybe there's some barriers that they haven't addressed and they really need to get real with themselves. And I feel like writing those down. And so I added that at the end of each chapter. But each day is very straightforward, a couple pages, but I really think that if somebody is willing to get real with themselves, they can sit and pray over that and really take a full day to really digest it.
Amen. Amen. Now, your foundational scripture, as we read, is from Matthew 20, verse 16. So the last to be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Why did you choose that scripture as your foundation for your business?
I would love to say that I chose it. God gave that to me one morning. So during the pandemic and the quarantine, I started going outside early in the morning in the dark by myself out on the patio to get alone with God and to really examine some of these scriptures that I wanted to study further. And this one came to me. I never tried to explain it. I never tried to really ask for meaning. He gave it, and it just, the light went on. And I said, well, that's evidence that God's involved in this. Mm-hmm. And so the key was going out and inviting him in every morning. And that's what I would encourage folks, you know, invite the Lord into your situation, regardless of good or bad, because I think sometimes we try to use that as an anchor in our darkest times, which, yes, it of course absolutely is. But I think God wants to talk to us in other times as well. I know he does. And so he revealed that scripture to me, and it was hard to argue with it. Yeah. And so, because I really feel like leadership today, and I'll qualify this, there are good leaders. There are great leaders out there. But I feel like through what we've all had to undergo in the last 8 months or so, mm-hmm. I feel like leadership has maybe taken a different turn that I don't think was written out in the original blueprint God had for it. I think there's some things we need to examine. I don't have all the answers. Like you said before, when I was in leadership, I had to learn the hard way and made a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. As long as we're learners instead of failures, you know, I think people think I failed. Well, you didn't fail. You just learned something, a valuable lesson. And that's what I'd like to think about myself in that regard. But I think leadership needs to maybe take another look at itself by the way that we have rolled it out lately. I just think we're in a dark time, and that's not a surprise to folks who read the Bible. It's not a surprise to how things are transpiring. I just feel like, you know, when you talk about gifts, and I've always known that God kind of gave me the gift of encouragement and leadership. And I've tried to utilize that. I think I'm an encourager. I've coached baseball teams and my kids. I've got 3 sons and a daughter, and I've coached baseball for 10 years, and I've just learned how to encourage people, and I feel like it comes naturally. So I wanted to write that down in a book because I think people need it now more than ever.
Amen. Amen. And one of the topics that you hit on and discuss is servant leadership. Now, mm-hmm. how do you define servant leadership in the corporate or business world where, you know, for many, they're responsible to the board of directors or the shareholders? Mm-hmm. How does that fit into the corporate world?
Well, you know, and I certainly did not coin the phrase or develop this concept. I've read many good books, as I'm sure you've had, the Lead Like Jesus book by Ken Blanchard, I believe, and there's a lot of others. But I would say servant leadership to me is right there in line with humility and like I say in the book, some meekness, and realizing meekness is not weakness. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. So I think if we can grab onto the concept of propping others up, and I don't have a super, you know, intelligent algorithm for that other than, you know what, let's identify people's gifts and strengths, and let's not be intimidated by those as leaders. Let's not try to cover those up and try to say that we know everything. And yes, we're accountable to board of directors, but I think there's value in identifying skills and talents and creating a team that is on the same page, on the same journey. And then the leader equips those people, empowers them. And like I said, that's not a brand new concept, but I think folks like to talk about it, and I don't know that they really act on it as much as we could. So that's kind of where I was going. What I think servant leadership is really showing people that they're good at things and showing them why, and then putting them in positions to succeed.
Amen. Amen. And one of the sayings in your book that I just love is, the best leaders are learners. And I found that to be so true. How do you encourage leaders who say, I'm just too busy to go to church or read the Bible or take on any extra activities? I'm working 80 hours a week as it is. How do you approach them in that respect?
Well, so a pastor at our church a few years back said this to me, that leaders are readers as well. And I could be better at that discipline of just reading more and more and more and just pouring into my knowledge base. But I'll say, when you ask about learners, leaders have to be okay with mistakes. I'm not saying that they need to enable that, because obviously you don't make the same mistake over and over. And too many mistakes obviously could start raising eyebrows in your company about your leadership. But I would say, let's not be afraid to call the ball when we've made a mistake, and really wrap our arms around the ownership that's attached to that. Because when I was in leadership, I felt like I had this persona, this title, and that meant I was not able to be vulnerable. I was not able to be transparent. I was not permitted to really raise my hand and say, I got that one wrong. And so I feel like there's some power in getting a group of people together and the leader actually acknowledging themselves as fallible, right? As human. I think that transparency offers a bit of genuineness and authenticity that I think teams are looking for in leaders.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I shared how you have a heart for men's ministry, you know, where it comes to empowerment. Mm-hmm. How do you do this? What are some ways you do this that you can share with our listeners?
So I think it's all about serving. You know, we do a lot of that through our church men's ministry. We've got a group of guys, and we teach and go through curriculum, and I've developed with one of our adult ministry pastors a curriculum on accountability, because I think that's huge. We're starting to lose a little bit of a grip on that, I think, as men, Christian men. I think the accountability component is vital, and I think it's getting a little bit loose out there. So we've really taken hold of that at our church. I would say that men's ministry is in every, like, having a heart for that is born into every Christian leader. Every Christian male, I think, has that bend to be good at men's ministry, because everybody is in ministry. Not maybe not vocational. You know, you may not get a paycheck from a ministry or a church, but I had trouble with this early in my Christian walk, because I didn't understand that. I thought that ministry just meant you dressed up every Sunday and went and got a paycheck from the church. And I'm telling you, this doesn't work as a whole. And God wants us to grab on as many people as we can and take them to heaven, right? That's our great commission. And if we just depend on vocational pastors and ministry to do that, I think we're missing it. So I think it's about owning that duty, owning that obligation as a Christian man to really be, I mean, Christian anywhere, really. I hate to keep saying men, but I have a heart for men's ministry. But it's the Christian people have to take ownership of this. This is our responsibility as well. So pouring into other people and really walking that out in discipleship. So that's what I think men's ministry, that's what I think ministry in general looks like from a layperson standpoint.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Concerning your faith, how does your faith play into, say, leadership training that you do, you know, on the business side of things?
Well, so that is a hard one. And you knew that was a hard question when you asked it, and I appreciate that. That's a hard question. So when I was in leadership for a number of years in sales, I did it wrong for a while. I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out of my spirituality and the Monday through Friday thing. I was, I was just trying to balance everything. And I don't think that I did a good job of exemplifying what a Christian leader looks like. I think I did a lot of talking about it. So what I would say to people who are Christians in the business world, and I am, and I, you know, I'm not a manager. I don't have that title, but I think we all can lead in the business world without a title. And so just by the way I conduct myself, I think people out there, you know, we know what business meetings look like. We know what business trips look like. And we know that there's always a magnifying glass on the Christian leader in corporate America. There's always those folks that are kind of waiting, right? They're looking at us. They're observing every move. So I think, and like I said, I haven't been perfect at this in the past, but I think now I just realize this is who I am. Like, this is genuine. This, what you see is what you get. When you walk away from a conversation with me, you're not going to wonder, is he a Christian? You're not going to wonder, is that guy real? You're either going to like me like I am or you're not. And so I think if we can get to a place as Christians that we're okay with whatever someone decides to judge about us, we have to be faithful to the journey that we have grabbed onto as Christians. Like, this is the journey. This was a choice. That's what I love about God. He doesn't make us do anything. We chose this. Amen. And we chose to walk with him. So if we're going to do that, you know, let's buckle down and let's walk it out like he intended. And I think people will follow that. Like, I think leadership is craving that right now. And, you know, I can't say that it's always a perfectly smooth journey. I wouldn't say it's always roses and rainbows. Doing that, you're going to have some struggle. And I think I talk about some of that in my book, that there's going to be rough roads ahead. When you try to walk this out as a leader in corporate America, because not everybody's like-minded. Our faith doesn't always align with corporate philosophy, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
it's a challenge every day, but there's got to be a decision made when we walk out the door. We have to make that choice on, this is non-negotiable, and you know, let's go do it, you know, good or bad, let's go do it.
Amen. Amen. Now, when someone first approaches you about coaching or leadership training, et cetera, how do you determine if it's a good fit according to your values, your faith, et cetera? Because it has to be good for you as well as them, right?
Right, right. You know, I think that it's one of those things where someone that approaches you and asks for input on leadership or asks for some sort of expertise that you might have or that they think you might have, I think it's first we got to make it about what they need out of it. Like, I think instead of me being approached about leadership and just, you know, spewing all this information that I think is applicable, I think it's important to understand the needs of somebody and understand what they're trying to accomplish. Why do you want to be, you know, why do you want to lead this group of people? Or as a group that I lead, you know, I have to understand who I'm leading. So the person that comes and approaches me about, you know, what's a good way to lead in this capacity, I would say to them, you know, what do you want to accomplish? What kind of heart? I think you got to examine a heart condition as well. And I say that a lot on my YouTube channel and different things. I keep coming back to the condition of the heart and the humility behind the leader, what the goals are. And I think if our goal is to empower others and to make people stronger and not be fearful of losing some of that leadership on our own, I think we can do a lot of good things.
Yeah, amen, amen. And that's so true that, you know, you have to, of course, put their needs, what they're looking for first, but you don't want to deny the faith, I guess you could say. Like you said in the prior question, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, when I'm up on the platform at a conference or something like that, it is not unusual for me to say amen and, you know, praise God or something like that. I'm not going to hide that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that amen. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. I hope you got a lot out of this portion of my interview with John Shibley, author of this great book, Last in Line Leadership, that's founded on the scripture, the last shall be first and the first shall be last, taken from Matthew 20, verse 16. You know, it took us a little longer than normal to be able to book John on our program. His schedule is full with interview requests because of the immense importance of this great book. And the good news is, this was just part one of a great two-part interview. Amen? So you need to be sure to come back for the next episode where we really, really are going to get into some great concepts from his book. But what you need to do right now is go down below into the show notes and order your copy of this book. Do it right now while it's fresh in your mind. With the Christmas shopping season underway at the time that we're publishing this interview, John Shibley's book, Last in Line Leadership, it would make a great present for two or three people that you know, plus your own copy. Amen? So just go down below and order your copies today, and be sure to come back for the conclusion of this interview in the next episode. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.